Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Thanks for listening and being a part of Mama Said, and thanks in advance for supporting these sponsors in this episode. They help us have this much fun with you every week for free. So enjoy the show.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
No one said being a parent would be easy, but now you don't have to go through it alone. Actress and mother of two, Jamie Lynn Sigler, has teamed up with musician and stay-at-home mother of two, Jenna Paris, to create a safe place where you can confess your worst mommy sins and still feel like you're killing the mommy game. This is Mama Said with Jamie and Jenna.
Hi, mamas. Welcome to another wonderful episode of Mama Said. We have the most amazing sleep consultant extraordinaire on our show. Her name is Melissa Brown, and she is talking to us all about how to get your kids to sleep, how to keep them asleep, what not to say to them, what to say to them, all the tips and tricks you need. So this is going to be a really, really helpful show for everyone. But speaking of our kids, you know how important it is for me to use green cleaning around my children. I really try not to use any toxic chemicals. But anyway, I started using this product called Force of Nature. It is a little appliance that uses electricity to convert tap water and then plus a capsule of salt, water, and vinegar into a multi-purpose cleaner and disinfectant as effective as bleach. So it's gentle enough to use even on your baby's toys without rinsing, yet powerful enough to kill 99.9% of bacteria and viruses. It kills even staph, MRSA, and norovirus with zero toxic chemicals or fumes. How amazing is that? So basically, it replaces kitchen, bath, glass cleaners, deodorizers, and disinfectants. Saves you tons of money. It costs less than a dollar a bottle. The best part about this is it is co-founded by a mama. So the company mission is to help parents create healthier homes by taking the worry and toxins out of cleaning once and for all. Please do yourself a favor and visit forceofnatureclean.com, and you will get 40% off plus free shipping, and use our code Mama Said. Please let us know how you like it.
This is Mama Said with Jamie and Jenna.
Okay, welcome to Mama Said. I'm Jamie.
I'm Jenna. Hi.
I feel like we need to like fly through these win fails.
Totally.
Because we are finally talking about sleep. We know you guys have all wanted to talk about it, and we have an amazing friend and sleep expert here to answer all of your questions. So let's get to it. Win fails.
Mommy win. Mommy fail.
I'm just going to say a win because I can't even think of a fail right now because whatever. Because I'm like a perfect mom. Win booked an anniversary trip.
Yay.
And that's it.
Where to?
I think we're going to go to Santa Barbara. Or I know
nice.
We are.
Very nice.
I don't know why I'm saying I think.
I was like, did you book it?
I know. I did.
Or you
I
came
did.
Up with an idea. Oh, good
no,
for you.
No, no, no. We booked.
Okay.
Yeah.
My win fail, I'll quickly so. So my win is I managed to keep both kids super active this week with no camp, et cetera. Like we did so many different activities and I'm really proud of myself. I actually enjoyed doing all of them. Like I was trying to go with, I know I've told you I'm trying to do the like I get to as opposed to I have to.
Yes.
So we had a really, really great time with that. My fail, it's not really a fail, but it was kind of really something scary that happened. So I had taken the boys in the morning to one of those like indoor playground things.
Yeah.
And because I'm trying to get Jack to move to one nap, we'll talk about that soon. And the alarm went off like whoop, whoop. And it was kind of like in this mall thing. And all of a sudden an announcement came on like, everyone immediately go to the nearest exit. Immediately go to the nearest exit. Like no explanation why.
What?
And it was like this look.
Wait, Jamie,
of
when
all
was this?
Monday. All the moms like looked at each other, and you know that everyone's first thought was shooter. Okay? Now you know I can't run, right?
Yeah.
There happened to be a mom there that came up to me and listened to this podcast, which was so sweet. And I've been trying to grab both my kids and move as quickly as I can and get everyone's shoes on, and I'm staying super calm. And she looked at me, she goes, do you need me to run with your kids? Like, do you need me to my help? And I like, I was like, no, it's okay. And I just started bawling because it is so sad that this is And of course, Bo the entire time was like, what's going on, mommy? What's going on? Is there a fire? Are there helpers? And I was like, Bo, just stay calm. Just stay close to mommy. You just need to listen to what I say. Just listen to everything that I say. And we got out and there was two people that were still behind me. So it wasn't like I was felt like everyone's gone.
Yes.
And we just walked really slowly outside and we figured it out and we stayed calm. But it's this fucked up reality that we live in now, and it's actually a terrible, terrible conversation that I have had to have with Cutter, where I've said to him, God forbid there's ever an incident like that, you have to take the kids and run. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to think, like, I can't hold my family back mm-hmm. from, like, being protected and, like, trust that, like, I'm scrappy and I'll figure it out because I am. But like, it was a very scary moment.
Wow.
And it's just a reality.
Yeah.
And I still don't know what happened. It didn't seem like there was anything really, you know, bad or whatever. But, you know, in the place I was in, there was a movie theater and like all these different things. And it's just, you don't know.
What a sweet woman to suggest that.
I forgot your name. We talked, but thank you so much. For offering to help me, that meant a lot. Because it should be to each their own. I mean, you were there with your baby. You should have been doing what you were doing. But it stuck with me and went a long way. And I appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Let's shake that one off. We'll be right back. You guys, we're finally talking about sleep with sleep expert Melissa Brown of Sleep Shop Consulting. She personally helped me with my nightmare of a time with Jack when he was an infant and sleep. And I just love her so much. And we will be right back to talk to her. We all love to refresh our snack drawers. But when's the last time you refreshed your sock drawer? If you can't remember, it's probably time for an upgrade. Bombas socks are made with comfort innovations like arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed. All socks speak for super comfortable. They come in hundreds of colors and styles, making them perfect for men, women, and kids. They fit Jack perfectly for his big, fat, chubby feet. They don't have the little red ring around the ankle, which I hate to see. And Bo absolutely loves the seamless toe because, you know, the kids love to complain about how their socks are bothering them. And Bombas has a new line of merino wool socks that are made from soft, warm, and naturally moisture-wicking merino wool designed with all the Bombas classic comfort features. From keeping cool and dry on your morning run to stay comfortable in your office's freezing air conditioning, Bombas socks are ready to work as hard as you do. And for every pair of socks you buy, Bombas will donate a pair to someone in need. How great is that? So buy your Bombas at bombas.com/mama today and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/mama for 20% off. bombas.com/mama.
And now back to Mama Said with Jamie and Jenna.
Okay, we are back. I'm going to give you a quick background quickly on our guests. Melissa Brown is a certified sleep consultant and has a master's in counseling and pastoral care. She owns Sleep Shop, which is a pediatric sleep consulting company, and works with families all over the world, helping them get their little ones on sustainable routines and sleeping through the night. She has an extensive experience working with families during some of their most vulnerable times and has a background in grief and bereavement counseling for families.
Wow.
Getting the chance to work with families in their new additions is such a joy, and she loves walking alongside parents as they venture the peaks and valleys of parenting. She's a mother of four, including twins, and believes that healthy sleep habits truly benefit the family as a whole. To learn more about Melissa, and we'll make sure that we repeat this again, you can visit her website at www.sleepshopoc.com. Please welcome Melissa.
Hi, guys. Hi. I get like embarrassed even listening to like a bio of myself.
You should be so proud.
I know. I get it.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thanks for coming.
I can vouch for you firsthand. Oh. I mean, how much you help me, and we're such a cheerleader. And when you work with Melissa, I mean, you are available to me all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I would text you at all hours, everything, and you always were right there for me to talk me through things and explain things, and like literally physically in person came and helped me too.
Yeah.
Like, and so quickly before we get into, I apologize in advance, like the 50 questions.
No, I love it. I love it.
Because this is just such a important thing. I mean, sleep. I mean, we all need it.
Oh, my gosh.
And
yeah.
I love schedule. I love routine. I'm a slave. And I just think sleep habits is just so important and so awesome when you see it work. Could you quickly just tell us how you got started into this and then just your method?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like a mixture of a lot of different things, right?
Yeah. Okay. Like it's like we all hear it, like no baby's the same, no kid's the same, no parenting style is the same. So you kind of have to like adjust to each individual baby and each family and what works for them or whatnot. So my background's in counseling. So I used to actually be a hospital chaplain. So and worked with people who lost babies at the time and like in trauma or like lost a family member. And it was the most sacred space I've ever been in, and I loved it. And obviously, as we know as moms, like getting kids, I couldn't do it. I did not have the emotional wherewithal to grieve and be with these families, and the anxiety I brought home with thinking about what would happen to my kids. And you're kind of traumatized and you can't – these people and these families, you see that. So, and I say that as that to me was this moment that I had kind of like God had let me be in this part with people and with babies. And so now getting, you know, to do that, and you're doing a lot of counseling because everyone grieves differently. Yeah. Everyone's sense of loss is different. You know, I had such a heart for the dads in those situations because everyone does go to the mom and baby, of course, but you kind of look and you look to the side and see the dad sobbing in the corner, you know, wanting to be strong, but also losing his child as well. Mm-hmm. And so I say that as I got into seeing family dynamics and trying to be with them and meet people's needs as they came, you know, and trying to walk people through that and comfort. And you basically just show up because there's no words for someone in that situation, you know. So I did that. And then I started doing like high school counseling for girls at a Catholic high school where I was kind of, they didn't have to talk to the priest. They could talk to to me. And I it's working with families and different family changes and eating disorders and things that high school girls just go through. And I kind of helped them through that and kind of gave them a listening ear. And so I love that. And then the sleep stuff kind of came. Like I was like, someone was like, oh, what will you do with your baby when I was pregnant? I was like, I don't know. I had no idea. Will they sleep? Will they not? And I, at the time, had a group of girlfriends that were like, this is what we're going to do. I was like, that's what I'll do too. And you kind of just kind of got on routine and I always asked for help, read every book. It was kind of just kind of devouring it and it worked. And then I'd give a schedule and this routine to someone else and it worked for them. And then it worked for them. And you kind of, it's not like
it's a perfect gift you're giving.
Yeah. You're like, well, follow that. And they're like, would text me my baby slept through the night.
Yeah.
And, so eventually when I was talking to like a seventh degree stranger, my husband's like, can you please get off the phone and get in bed? It's 8 o'clock. You've never met this woman. And I'm like walking her through it. And ultimately it's like counseling people through it. Like, this, keep doing this, you know, let's try this, or, you know, just having the support system and not just Googling the billion different answers you can get, but walking with them and kind of helping them. And so it really is counseling.
With victories,
yes. And just getting to be with people and kind of noticing like, hey, this isn't even about sleep. This is about just maybe where you're at right now. Get a babysitter, go get your nails done, and have a drink with your girlfriend. You know, sometimes just having another mom say that and give you the freedom to do that, while also being like, but, you know, if you are going to breastfeed, get home at this time, breastfeed, put the baby down, like, and giving them a plan, you know, so that everything's not as
new
overwhelming.
New moms need to hear, want to be given a plan. They want to hear that it's okay. Like, they want, I would have loved, you know, someone to be like, Jenna, you just had Milo. It's okay. Go get your nails done. Like, I would have loved that permission. from a professional.
And that's what you were in so many ways to me because you – and like you said, it was individual and you saw what I needed and what he needed. And I think what's really beautiful is you also – it's not like you're like, okay, your baby is, you know, 4 months. We can start trying. They should be sleeping through the night now.
It's, totally.
You start habits from day one.
Yeah,
like you have advice from the get-go, which is great because our questions are going to be literally all over the map. I didn't have time because I'm a mom to organize them in like chronological order, but it is like people have needs from, you know, 4 and 5 year olds because, you know, we know like they be sleeping and then all of a sudden you think you conquer
happened
one
to me
thing
last night.
And then,
totally.
Then they're kind of assholes sometimes too.
There you go.
Really quickly, what was your situation with Beau? I don't remember.
Jack didn't sleep. Like Jack was up all the time. He was a terrible napper. And I just couldn't get, like, Beau was a dream. Beau, when he was little, was 12 hours through the night, two-hour, two naps. And then when he switched to one nap right on time and was a three-hour napper and still a 12 hours, like, he was perfect. And Jack was not. I mean, it was sometimes it was a 40-minute nap. Sometimes it was a 2.5-hour nap. Like, yeah. And he couldn't
There's no consistency.
Settle himself. And so, and I was also like switching with from breastfeeding to the formula and all of that. And you really helped talk me through all of it.
Yeah. And then you were traveling too, I remember. And that's always like a big, like, what do you do with a baby? Like, I know we're leaving in a week. What am I really hoping to get done in 5 days before I go and then go to the New York and be on a different time zone?
Mess it all up.
In a different area. Yeah. So there
was. And you gave me permission, I think, a lot of ways to, you know. You were like, Jamie, he's teething. Give him Tylenol. You know what I mean? Or like, he's got that temperature. Like, it's okay. Like, this is going to help him and you. And you really coached me as much as giving me those tools, which I'm forever grateful for.
I'm so glad.
But if you don't mind, we're just going to jump into questions.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions to start with? Because we're selfishly going to ask you our own.
You know what? The one thing that I'm seeing trickle in right now is my son has realized, and I was waiting for the day, realized that he can get out of his own big boy bed and come into ours without screaming for us and be like, Mom, Dad. Now he's just like, like, I could just get up and walk in. And we're so tired, we don't realize. So we want to kind of nip that in the bud. What should we do?
Okay, so he's four, right?
He's almost four.
Milo. Okay, so what I would, with that one,
there's no lock on the door. Like, his door's,
And that's okay. And at that age, they're, like, old enough to be kind of scared and worried. So, like, locking them in the room I don't think is a good thing for that age. But the hatch clock is a great clock. Do you have that one? Okay, so incentivize... Not bribe. That's what I, you know, you're basically bribing them. Yeah. But I would just set the when you have the color change or whatever it is, and reward him not with a toy or not with a treat. Reward him with one-on-one time. Oh, my gosh. Milo, I am so excited. If you stay in there for one more day, you get that to go on a date with mommy. And it could be as simple as going to the grocery. It could be something with you know, your husband, anything. But incentivize him with something that, like, he can really remember. And then you can continue to use it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh, Milo, I loved when we went to the park, just us, that one time for an hour. I would love to do it again. Can you – I think you can stay in your bed.
Okay.
You know, for the whole thing.
I'll try that.
And it's just constant affirmation. And – when he does get out, it's walking back. Oh, I'm so bummed you made that choice.
Yeah.
I asked you not to get out of your room. It's too early and your body needs sleep.
Yeah.
And your body's, you know.
Yeah.
Just kind of that.
Yeah.
Rhetoric.
Great advice. Okay.
But one-on-one time is like they –
That's such a good bribe.
Yeah.
It's a healthy bribe.
And then you enjoy it too. And I think when they have little siblings, like the toddlers, like getting that kind
special
of attention, because the toddlers always get more attention because
they're toddlers. They're babies.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
Great advice.
So really quickly, speaking of one-on-one time, I'm actually taking my son, and he doesn't know it yet, so it's a perfect bribe. I'm actually taking him this Saturday to an incredible event called Express Yourself. It's for this organization called PS Arts. It's a nonprofit organization that provides high-quality arts education programs in underserved public schools and communities around California. I got involved. I'm on the board for the event this year. Like I said, it's called Express Yourself. It is so amazing. I got hooked because I went last year, and all of the booths are so well curated, well thought out. And I just, you know, I'm probably sending my children to public school, and I want to make sure I am contributing in a beautiful way. And so I immediately contacted my friend who was on the board and said, I want to get involved. So now I'm on the board of this event. It's, again, if anyone wants to check it out, you guys should go to, let me see what the website is. It's www.psarts.org. Go check it out. Like I said, the event is this Saturday and it's in the afternoon, and, you know, tickets are $200, I think, or you could buy packages, but it is so wonderful and your money is going to something really, really beautiful. So at least check it out if you can't go.
Okay, so with Jack, actually there was two other moms that wrote in our Facebook page that had the same issue as me. So he is 19 months, and we have for the past 2 months have been going back and forth with one nap and two naps.
Okay.
So he's average goes to bed about 6:47, 6:45, 7.
I was like, wow, you really are scheduled.
Wow.
Sorry. 6:45/7. And he most days will wake up around 5:15.
Okay.
I don't get him until 6, and he's totally fine about it. He doesn't scream or cry. But there's other days, like today, He woke up at 6:25.
Okay.
So on the days he wakes up at 5:15, at 8:30, he is begging to get into his bed. He's going, night, 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 night. So I put him in. He falls asleep about 8:40. I wake him at 9:30.
Perfect. Okay.
We play. We do our thing. I put him down again at 1, and he sleeps till 2:30.
Okay.
So that's majority of the time our routine.
Okay.
Then there's a day like today. He slept till 6:20. He has such a crazy inner clock. At 8:30, he was like, we were literally playing outside, and he goes, night, night. Like, he wouldn't even have sight of his bed.
Yeah.
Ran inside to his crib.
My kids have never done that before.
I put him in, and at 9:30, he's still awake, like, just rolling and talking. Okay. My nanny texted me because I was on my way here, and she's like, he's still awake. I was like, take him out and then put him down at 12.
Okay.
So I've tried, and he can hang to push him to that one nap, but then when he does the one nap, it's only an hour.
Because he's so overtired.
He's so overtired, and he's used to, like, that first nap being quick because I wake him up.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and he's going to be starting, like, a little school soon that goes from 9:30 to 12:30, so I don't, like, do I then – I don't know what to do.
Yeah, okay. So the thing is, so going to one nap usually happens around 15 to 18 months. Right. You know, and there's some babies do it earlier because of the older kids' schedule.
I had to do it at 12 months. And I had to.
Yeah, and some do. Yeah, you have to. There's no way around it, and you're wanting to prioritize sleep, so do it as best you can. I love hearing, though, that because what you're saying with that little cat nap in the morning and then an afternoon nap, some babies at 19 months, that works great for. Should I still do that? If that was working, I would say, yeah, absolutely. You know, especially if he's getting up early or maybe have a time, like if he's up before 6:30, he gets the morning nap. If not, he doesn't because he's making up that 45 minutes of sleep. So what he did was sleep in 45 minutes longer than normal. So that 45 minute nap, he wasn't needing to catch up on the sleep as much as he normally does. But since you said you are transitioning to a school, I would slowly transition based on his age and go to one nap. So the thing with that is that usually they start to he should start sleeping in a little bit longer when he does go to one nap to kind of catch up on sleep.
Right.
But sometimes they go to bed so overstimulated that they wake up earlier.
Yeah.
Because 5:30 is still pretty early for when he's going to bed. So I would even move his bedtime up to 6, honestly. You could put him to bed at 6 p.m., hoping because that will sometimes elongate.
You mean sleep. Like if he only does like 12 to 1, put him down at 6?
Absolutely. Like so a couple things here. So what I would start to do is slowly – the first thing you're going to want to do is slowly push out that morning nap, right? Because they'll never give up their morning nap before they're
up. But don't you think you could just remove it at this point in general and just distract him?
Absolutely. So you're saying maybe I should do 11:30 instead of 12?
Exactly. I would do 11:30. So you just, like Jenna's saying, skip the morning nap altogether. Do not get in a car and do not get in a stroller because he will fall asleep. And if he falls asleep for 3 minutes,
it'll fuck it up.
Why is that?
The whole day's so fucked up. Oh my God.
Because it's like it resets their brain, you know?
When my son is in the car, I cannot get in the car because, like, if he falls asleep for literally 5 minutes, he doesn't go to sleep till 9:30, 10.
It's wild. It's bizarre because it's not like they caught up on sleep.
We're in the car, my husband and I going, Milo, Milo, la, 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 la.
That's where I like give the lollipops. I'm like, because they won't fall asleep.
Yeah.
Stash in the car.
Great idea.
They smart. Do. Yeah. So I would start to go from like 11:30 and shoot for like a 1.5 to 2.5 hour nap.
Okay.
If he'll take it. So keep him distracted. Get him outside. A bath is a really good way to distract an overtired baby. They love the water.
Smart.
Like, so do like, you could do colors and foam and it, like, do something fun and different. Get him outside. Get him in the sun. Do something like that. And then do 11:30 to, like, let's say ideally 1:30 or 2. Move bedtime up to around 6.
So, like, 6:30?
Even 6.
Okay.
I would go with him. If you see one yawn, put him in bed.
It's so funny. You always think, like, 6 is so early, but when Daisy goes to bed before 7, she sleeps the longest.
It does. Yeah. So it's like a myth that people say, keep your baby up. They'll wake up.
Oh, yeah.
You think he'll slowly transition into sleeping later?
I think so. Yes, exactly. Because he's going to reset his circadian rhythm, you know? So you want him to basically go down later. So he's going through sleep cycles. You want him going through a light sleep cycle around 4:30 so he goes back to sleep till 6 or 7 versus – getting that sleep cycle at 5:30 and thinking it's time to get up. Right. So he's going to go through more if he's down earlier. So then, and then you only have to do that, I would say, like 3 to 5 days at 11:30 and then push it straight to 12. Okay. And I'm like, I'm not like 15 minutes for one day. I'm usually kind of like, okay, give it 2 or 3 days and then you just get to where you want to be.
It's so funny because like when you have no choice to do it, it's like pretend you have no choice.
Yeah. No, you know? For sure. Yeah, and I've had a great luxury to be able to be like, let's divide and conquer.
Yeah.
I had the wonderful luxury, but it's maybe done us to disservice.
No. I think it's great. I actually love that that worked for you guys. Like, that's a perfect example of like that. He got his little morning nap. The morning nap is the most important nap of the day. You know, he's at an age now where his brain doesn't need it because morning nap is brain sleep. Afternoon nap is physical. So as he gets more physical, that afternoon nap essentially should get longer.
Okay.
Another great thing with babies this age to distract them, do memorization. And I'm like, I'm really not that mom who's like teaching my kids 17 languages unless they learned it on YouTube or something.
Right.
Like, I kind of like, I don't have it. I can't do it. But memorization for kids this age, because so much of it, there's a sleep regression around 18 months, and so much of it is due to brain stuff. Because their brain is going a mile a minute. They're almost like, you know when you wake up like with anxiety at like 4 o'clock and you start like going through your list of stuff? That's basically them with new words and that color. Like, they can't stop thinking. So memorization during the day really helps. Gets them tired.
Yeah.
And so
like, we have an app on the iPad. It's all flashcards and he's obsessed with it.
Yes.
So something like that
is amazing. Okay. Or even the placemats with the states and the capitals.
Yeah.
And then Bo can teach them too and be like, what's that? And like kind of quiz them and they can quiz each other.
Okay.
But it really helps. So you're essentially combining a morning nap, which is brain nap, and an afternoon nap, which is physical nap, into both or one. And then so you want to tire them out mentally and physically.
Awesome.
But
Thank you.
And then, but the early bedtime, like if he doesn't take that long afternoon nap, because he might not the first week or so, I mean, even early as 5:30 is an okay time to put them
down. And then like what I do, and maybe this works for us, is when Daisy has a bad nap, I just, you know, usually she sleeps from like 12 to 2 or like 12:30 to 2:30.
That's great.
If she sleeps for an hour, for some strange reason, if it's like loud outside, I'll put her to bed between 6 and 6:15.
Perfect.
And also sometimes like when we can't make it home in time, we're putting her to bed at 7:45. It's fine, right?
Yeah,
like
nothing.
Like for all the moms that are listening, like it's fine.
Yes. It's totally fine. And that's the thing. I love schedules too and routine because it kind of just helps with like if you have a nanny or like I love knowing when I left my nanny, they were kind of on the same routine because she could stay home with him, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I had to go out and about, I took my kids out and about and like and he did it and like they could go to bed like they're fine.
They can learn to read.
They adjust. Yeah. Do not be a slave to it because I think it honestly causes more like anxiety. Yeah. Like perfectionism and don't do that. Just say like, hey, today's a cheat day and we're going to go to the park with friends or down to the beach and they're going to go to bed late and it's going to be fine. So maybe on a night like that with Jack, give them the morning nap the next day.
It's
a perfect time when like you're
weekends,
out late.
Weekends are for sure the two naps.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Usually Friday night we'll go out to dinner, the four of us and stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, always.
All right. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with all of your questions. Jen and I are done.
I know. We're like,
we'll be right back.
Mamas, listen up. You know how we all have breathable socks and breathable workout clothes, breathable bras? Well, what about breathable underwear? Have you ever thought of that? Well, Fruit of the Loom definitely thought of it. So they make this incredible underwear and it's breathable and it makes you feel cool even through life's most uncomfortable moments. Like, you know, when someone waves to you from across the room and then you wave back and they're definitely not waving at you. Well, yeah, that just happened to me yesterday, but those kind of moments. So you need undies that breathe. They are lightweight fabric. They have tiny, tiny holes that provide airflow, keeping you cool all day long. And you guys, like, come on, us mamas, like, really need that airflow down there. So it is designed with total comfort in mind. And if you guys want to try, and trust me, I wear mine almost every day. I'm not kidding you. Like, bye-bye, you know, any other underwear I have. Hello, Fruit of the Loom breathable underwear. Try it. Go to fruit.com and use promo code MAMA to unlock an additional 10% off. That's FRUIT.com and promo code MAMA for 10% off to get your Fruit of the Loom's breathable underwear today. So feel cool even when you shouldn't.
You're listening to Mama Said with Jamie and Jenna.
All right, we're back. You're welcome, everyone, because here's all your questions. All right. So, again, this is a little out of chronological order in English, but okay. No. So the first one is, we have a mom that's having a difficulty with transitioning from crib to toddler bed, okay. especially for naps. So if you have any advice about that.
Okay. I'm just going to say this. Keep them in their crib as long as you can. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to go to college in it. Eventually, like, maybe.
We kept Bo till over three.
So did, I did with my kids too. I had to, and it just.
He never tried to get out.
Yeah. I know, and they like it. They like that cozy spot. So with that said, if they're in the bed, make their bed cozy. It doesn't need to be a big, like we do these like big girl rooms right away, and they're 2 or 2.5, and they're so little. They like the coziness of the crib and feeling secure. So
don't rush it.
Don't rush it, first of all. And then when you do make their bed, it's okay to do the little bed, or you can do like the cozy, like put a pillow under the sheet so it's like kind of they can snuggle up into it like they used to snuggle up against
like a bumper or
something. Yes, like something like that in their bed. I also from the get-go set the boundaries, like right away, this is your bedtime, you can get out when mommy comes and gets you, or when your clock turns pink or blue or the hatch, you can do whatever color they want.
It's the best, the hatch.
I love it, and you can do it from
it's
your
brilliant
it's so yeah. great. And so like give them like boundaries, like mommy's going to put you to bed. And, you know, depending on age, I'm a fan of the monkey lock as long as the room is toddler proof. Is like that you lose the privilege of getting the door open when you don't follow the rules and stay in bed. You need, you know, I always kind of give them the sleep talk. All little kids want to grow strong and be bigger, and girls want their hair longer or whatever it is. Like, talk to them. Like, sleep is important. And I'm so bummed you made that choice to get out of bed. Now I have to put the monkey lock on. And the monkey lock keeps the door open a little bit, but they can't get out of it.
Oh, you know? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have on pantries or like any doors
in
the house.
Let me just go on Amazon really quickly. Yeah, hang on.
Monkey lock.
But so the monkey lock is a good thing, but I'm more of a, when they're old enough, they understand it. When they don't get it and they keep getting out now, it probably means they left the crib too early. Mm. You know what I mean? Because a 3-plus-year-old can kind of understand that rule. One of the things you can do is put it back in play. And, I'm so bummed you made that choice to get out of bed again. You know, you have to sleep in the baby bed. When you make big girl choices, you get the big girl bed. But right now, you're not listening to mommy. You need to go in the pack and play. And some kids freak out.
Question for you. A lot of moms say, I think I did it too soon. I'm going to go back to the crib. Is that a good idea to go back to
something? I actually am okay with that.
Really?
I've like talked a lot of people into doing that. Because I think like you go back and they don't know how to handle
They're just not ready.
Yeah, they're just not
and
ready.
And you probably approach it more like not like it's a punishment, being like, do you think you would be happier in here still?
Of course. Totally. Right? Okay. Yeah, or maybe like we can't until you can make the choices to, and again, their choice, right? Until you can make the choices to stay in your bed, we got to put you in the crib.
Right.
But if you make the choice, and a lot of times most people leave both in there.
Yeah.
Oh, if you stay in your, you know what I mean, and kind of do that. But it's really hard. But from the get-go, stay strong. It's not engagement. Because usually when they get out, they get something. Then it's water. Then it's this. And I'm tired. Or I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. Blah, blah, blah. You don't make a lot of eye contact. You take their hand. You walk them to their room. You need to go to bed.
Okay.
And a good way, too, that I always tell with toddlers at that age is in the bedtime routine, set it up. Like, make a playlist on your phone. That's like 5 or 10 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Do songs they like and songs, cuddle with them, read with them. When the playlist is over, sweet pea, it's time for bed. So it gives them like a start and a beginning.
You know, you like could even do that on the hatch. You can like do like, you can do like Twinkle Twinkle or anything for 10 minutes and set a new program. But my son listens to Twinkle Twinkle really, really softly when he goes to sleep. And it turns off at 10 p.m.
That's perfect. Yeah. And it's just like kind of soothing.
He likes it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And like, so anything like that is a great way to get them to kind of a start and an ending.
Great advice.
You know?
Yeah. All right. The next question actually you answered because it was similar of like when they're getting up in the middle of the night that are 3, 4 years old. Okay. So is there's a 2-year sleep regression?
You know what? There is that. I was talking with you with Jack, like the 18 month, and there is 2 years. Every time they go through, it's usually language. It's around that time is like language and brain. And some babies do it right around 18 months. Others are later and it's around 2 years. So I would say there's kind of always regressions when they're going through any big milestones, like learning to crawl, rolling over, learning to walk.
And how do you deal with it? Just let them be?
Well, that's what I would say. Yeah, and I know that's kind of hard. What we really do when they go through these regressions is we inadvertently create a new habit. So like they get up at 2 and you give them milk at 2 a.m. And then they're like, oh, It's a great idea, Mom. Yeah. I'm going to wake up tomorrow at 2. I will take that milkshake right at 2:05. Yeah, thank you very much. And you start doing that. So my best thing is to address it, kind of be aware of it. The memorization thing with that age is a great one. When they're standing in their crib, don't go and lay them down every time. They're not going to learn to lay back down on themselves by themselves.
Yeah.
And so I would say let them go through it. It's what they should be doing. They should be hitting these milestones. And they interrupt sleep. They never forgot how to go to sleep. And that's like a big one. The regressions don't make them forget. It just interrupts.
Yeah. What is it called? A cognitive burst, right?
Yes.
When they, like, I noticed that when Daisy, like the other night, she took 2 hours to go to sleep, but she wasn't crying. She was talking.
Is that when we were on the phone?
I don't know.
I think you were saying, like, she was still awake.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And she was like, bah, 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 bah. But I know, like, something was, like, bursting in her brain.
Yeah.
Like, she was, like, talking to – she was, like, singing Twinkle, Twinkle and talking. And I was like, I love this. I don't care that she's not going to sleep because she's, like –
she's not crying.
She's, like, talking to herself. Yeah. And, yeah.
That's exactly it. Or, like, happy birthday. A lot of kids, because that's the only song they know. They sing happy birthday to everyone.
You. And then sometimes when Daisy wakes up in the morning, like, once a month or something, this happens where she'll pop up. She'll start saying – this one word over and over again.
Oh, how funny.
That she, I feel like she was like thinking just about learned. It a lot.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like it's like, I almost feel like I could tell when she's having some sort of vocab
Amazing.
Burst.
Totally. And
when she wakes up in the morning.
Yeah. Totally. It's like, or when they're like, remember when they're like 4 or 5 months old and they sound like a pterodactyl?
Yeah.
Like they're not crying. Yeah. They found their voice. They're
like,
I'm making that noise.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And if you get a bit of attention, they think it's even cooler. So just let them do it they'll figure it out.
Okay, how to wean nursing to sleep.
Okay.
This was an issue that I had.
Yeah, because the nursing, they're using it as a sleep cue.
Like a passy.
Yeah, they're using it as a passy. Or a sleep with it. They're using it to go to sleep. They're not necessarily eating more.
Right.
You know, it's not a hunger thing. And I always say that because always, hunger, if your baby is hungry, feed your baby. You know, I think a lot of times people think with sleep training, it's like pushing them when they're hungry and making them go longer. Not at all.
You were big with me on the top off bottle.
I
was going to like try and get him to sleep, I would nurse him and then do like an ounce or two of a bottle. So I was insured that, because you can't ever know how much they're getting,
From
your boob, that he was getting topped off.
Because too, if he was falling asleep, he wasn't efficiently eating.
Mm-hmm.
So it may have compromised. Mm-hmm. He could have taken 2 more ounces, and that's why the bottle, you can see it like, oh, he actually took it when he wasn't asleep.
Yes.
You know, he's more awake. So the nursing to sleep, what I can say is that gradually give more breaks during nursing to burp, so you're waking them up a little bit more. Maybe instead of nursing at 7 to put them down at 7:30, start at 6:30.
Right.
Move the time up so they're not as tired.
Makes sense.
Interrupt them, sing to them, talk to them, play with their little hands, engage with them a little bit more so that they're not associating getting right on the breast and going right to sleep. And I would say the same thing with rocking. Still nurse them right before bed. Still cuddle them. Still hold them. Still rock them. Just don't do it to sleep. Don't do it for them.
Yeah.
Help them get there. And you can stay with the baby until they are asleep. Just
So you taught me this beautiful thing where I would put Jack – I would keep him up while feeding him, top him off, put him down. He was still in the swaddle at that point.
Yeah.
And you taught me to do this thing of just like rubbing with my thumb his forehead. Mm-hmm. Like think of the center of their forehead going down to their nose.
Yeah.
And just saying shh.
Yeah.
And just like have him learn that he's laying there kind of falling asleep. I'm helping him, slowly assisting him.
Yes.
But like that, like he can relax and kind of fall asleep, right?
Yeah. And he smells you and you're there with him and he feels you. He doesn't feel alone, but he's going to sleep on his own. You're not putting him to sleep.
Right. So what is your method? Is it the crying out method? Is it a touching method? Like what is
your method? It's a combo of everything. So like what are the most people always ask? Like is it baby wise? Is it the Ferber method? Is it this? You know, and I think there's
it's
combo.
Everything.
It's everything. It's everything.
You do everything.
Yeah. And it depends on the age and the
You also,
baby.
Too. We would like, we tried one thing and then I was like, and you were like, you know what, Jamie? I think you got to let him cry a little bit right now.
Yeah. Because it was behavior based.
Yes.
Like once it's behavior based, he's just wanting that thing. So it depends on the age. So I don't go to a particular method. I think whatever, first and foremost, if the parent is not comfortable, we don't do it.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to do anything you're not comfortable with.
And like I personally did the 5, 10, 15 cry it out method.
Yeah. I think actually that's the most popular.
Months.
Yeah. I think that's the most most people can adapt to that because it's like goal setting. Okay, I can wait 5 minutes. Okay. The second I walked in the room, he stopped crying after five. I kind of starting to know that's a little bit more behavioral than it is necessarily. He's needing me, you know, right? And again, if they are in need, pain, or sick, they're not going to stop crying. You know, they're not going to be settled in those intervals. Right. You know, there's a chair method. There's I do sometimes families do co-sleeping and we can do that. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just setting boundaries around not nursing all night because it's as they get older, they don't go in and out of those sleep cycles so easily. They're going to be awake more and they're more stimulated. Mm-hmm. So I would say my method is more of a gentle approach and consistent. It's like a consistent one. But the crying it out, I really don't like. I always tell people, if you want to do straight crying it out for 5 nights in a row for an hour and a half, don't hire me. Just like go on, because that's not what I do. Most people that call me aren't wanting me to just say do that. They're wanting me to hear, how about we do maybe like what you did, Jenna, like the 5-10 minute or the chair approach or something a little bit more gentle, still getting the same results, but doing it at a pace that doesn't seem so harsh. And so, because that's really behavior modification.
Yes. And how do you know that your kid, is ready to be sleep trained? Like, I remember someone telling me that, or mommy and me teacher telling us that if you say, like, if you call your child and say, Daisy, and she responds, that's a good sign that, like, they're almost
there's
ready
like a level of brain development that they can understand routine.
Yes. Yeah. They can understand habits. Like, if when I cry and I get my passy, this happens. Or when I cry, I get the breast, this, whatever it is. So it's old enough. It's usually around 4 months, 4 to 6 months, depending on the baby. And it's also when they're capable of self-soothing, meaning they didn't just accidentally put their hand in their mouth. They actually did put it on purpose. Mm, and so all babies are different with that. But I would say right around 4 months. Like, that's actually a really good I don't remember hearing that for so long. But that's actually a good thing because they're aware.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They're like, woken up to the world.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you stop bottles before bed? I know I'm going to hit this, like, especially I think moms worry for their teeth because, like, I brush his teeth in the bath, but then he gets a bottle.
Okay.
And I say goodnight, and then I put him in his bed, and he does this thing, and he falls asleep on his own, but he gets those are his sleep cues, is a bottle.
Oh, it's a bottle. Okay. So, all pediatricians, so I always, like, give, like, the generic response, ask your doctor, because I don't know. I have so many friends, so many that we did the bottles forever because that worked.
Yeah.
And it's not the end. He's not walking around with a bottle. They all are going to freaking knee braces. Like, sucking the thumb, you can't do that. And that's even worse for the teeth. I've had two that, like, their jaw is so high. But I would say you could start transitioning to a sippy cup. Or you can – some sort of routine that you slowly wean off the bottle.
So, I think I remember with Bo, we gave him the bottle. And then as he got older, we're like, okay, let's have the bottle. But then let's quickly brush our teeth before we get in bed when he was old enough. And then I remember when he was – I gave him a bottle almost till he was three.
Okay.
And then we were on a vacation – and I was just, like, so sick of, like, bringing bottle wash and bottles.
Oh, I love when that happens. Like, a vacation breaks your head.
I said to him, I was like, oh, baby, they don't have milk here.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh. I was like, okay, so you're just going to take your blankie and go to bed. Is that all right?
Yes. And he's like, you're forced to change. Yes,
you're forced to change.
Like, and he never asked for it again.
Yeah. I love that.
Because he was so ready.
Yeah. And he's old enough to, like, understand or
– my kid didn't like milk and they never liked bottles because I – well, it's probably my fault. I, like, gave him the boob so much. But I after breastfeeding, after a year, I just never gave her a bottle with milk ever. And my son too.
Yeah. And that's
– they didn't really crave it. They didn't love it. And to be honest, like, I don't care because it's easier for me.
Totally. Totally. And I think
I give them vitamin D drops.
Yeah. They got that. They got that. So I would just say if you want to transition out of the bottle, maybe do a sippy cup. There's so many amazing sippy cups now that they're easy for them. But still do the snuggle because so much of what they're attached to is that snuggle.
Totally. Is that close time?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, this is something that I'm definitely going to be facing because Bo did not take a pacifier, but Jack has 8 in his crib at all times. So when and how do we break this?
Okay, so I would say never. If you're going to break it early, you break it at 4 months. And after that, I personally, and everyone's going to say different because some people call it a sleep crutch or whatever, but they learn very quickly to put it in their mouth. So I say not until after 2 or between 2 and 3, but not around any major changes. Mm. So many people, when they're 2, when they have their next baby, right? Their toddler's 2.
Yeah.
want to potty train him, put him in a big girl bed, and take away the passy. That is so much for their...
Wait, are you saying that two people want to move to a bed?
Oh, all the time.
Two?
Two, because they want to use their crib for their new baby. I'm like, there's like, get like a $60 crib on Amazon. Like, just get, or pack and play, you know? Like, I am so not a proponent.
The baby can be in a bassinet.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I am so not a proponent. I think you always go to the toddler. So when I say that, because that's when a lot of people do drop it, or their doctor.
This is so important. If I know a lot of people who are transitioning their kids when they're two, and to eat, I'm just like, wow, I hope that works for you, because when I did it at three-ish, and it was hard.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's a really big adjustment.
Buy an Amazon bed.
$60. Yeah, or a pack and play.
Don't do that to your toddler.
No, don't. Okay. Borrow it from someone else. It's not fair, and it's a lot of change for them, and they're totally displaced now as well with a new baby. Like, don't, like, think of everything that changed. They're not like, oh, I'm so old and so cool. They're two.
They don't know.
So don't take a passy then. But I would recommend weaning off of it immediately. Like, does he just have it in his bed?
Yes, never out of the bed.
Yeah, and so I would personally, for easy life, I would just start talking to him about it and be like, yeah, so when you're ready to give it back, you can do the tooth fairy.
Because he has his loveys that he sucks on also.
Yeah.
And that he has out of the bed, which I think is why he doesn't ask for a passy. Because he always has one lovey with him. He calls it Bucky. So I don't know why. And so because of Bucky, maybe the passy thing will be easier because he'll have Buckies.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And a lot of times it's people, they're so used to when they have a pacifier, they suck their thumb, they twirl their hair or rub their lovey or Bucky. It is so cute. So I don't think it's that big deal. I had my son was three when I was pregnant with the twins, and he loved his pacifiers. He had like 75 in his bed.
Yeah.
He used to like clip them on his face. I have no idea how he did it. He like loved it. And I was like, he was at the dentist. Like, you could see the teeth. And he's like, I have four kids. You're about to have four kids. Do not take that thing away. Yeah. Even at three, my dentist was he'll
Jack's
be fine.
Teeth are so jacked you know so up right now from those passies. Like, literally, they stick out.
That's what mine.
They move within a week. They move. My sister's son had the craziest teeth, and they took away his, and they were like, she was like, I'm screwed. Took away the passy finally, like at three or three and a half. His teeth shifted back. Within 1 month, they were perfect.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
That's crazy. Yeah. And I would just do it. And you can start talking to him about it and call me when that happens. Okay. I'll totally walk you through it. Because some babies don't like this passy fairy. Some babies don't like when you cut it down. Some, you know, I think if he's able to understand more, like give him Bucky and say now, like, I don't
You're
know, whatever
a big
it is.
Now. Yes. You can just have Bucky's, right? Okay.
Totally. But
I'm so
I think
jealous of the pacifier. No, and my kids also never took a freaking pacifier. I'm so jealous.
Bo never took one. I'm shocked that Jack loves
It's so weird how shove.
They wanted mom.
Never took.
Well,
you also breastfed for you. Yeah. I didn't. Okay. We're going to take a very quick break and get back to questions.
Okay.
There's nothing like enjoying the delicious homebrew taste of Gold Peak Real Brew Tea to give you that comforting feeling of home. So my comforting feeling of home is when my whole family's together sitting on the couch and we're just giggling and laughing and watching something funny on TV. But honestly, everyone knows how obsessed I am with iced tea, and I think that's when I feel most comfortable, sipping on my ice cold Gold Peak Real Brew Tea. So it comes in a variety of flavors, 14 to be exact, and different sizes. And it really has something for everyone and every occasion. So whether it's a gathering for dinner or home or something you need as a grab and go, or even when it's time for lunch, dinner, or just a quick snack, the homebrew taste of Gold Peak Iced Tea makes every single meal more refreshing and delicious. So with ice cold Gold Peak Real Brew Tea, the comforts of home are never far away. You can find your favorite Gold Peak flavor at a retailer near you. Gold Peak Real Brew Tea, the taste that brings you home.
You're listening to Mama Said with Jamie and Jenna.
Okay. So we have a mom that has a 2.5-year-old that she never sleep trained or never did anything with. And now she's just desperate because it's just been 2.5 years of so much and always rocked her to sleep. And she's like, is it too late?
It's not too late. It is a lot more difficult at that age. And I never want to say that because I feel like it tells people like, you have to do it earlier. It's too late. It's not that. But like, do it when you're ready. But as they get older and they can understand, she knows the difference now. Or a 4-month-old's never going to remember when or when they were not rocked to sleep or not. So a 2.5-year-old is. My recommendation is doing something like the Hatch Twinkle Twinkle, like incorporating a time around rocking. You know what I mean? So you start with maybe 40 minutes of rocking one night, and then you slowly decrease the amount of time it takes. And then it's like a 5-minute rock, cuddles, loves, prayers, songs, whatever it is, some sort of ritual before bed. I'm huge on that. And I still do it with my 10-year-old. Like, we still do our own little ritual and that, and then going down. For a mom, that it's probably really hard. I don't know the situation. A lot of times with a 2.5-year-old, you have a new baby or you're pregnant or something else is going on.
They all of a sudden you're feeling like, I can't do this
anymore. Totally. And you recognize, or it's like, it's in like, you're not having time with your husband at night because you're in the room rocking for 2 hours instead of having dinner. And that connection's super important with your partner, you know? So it starts to affect a lot of other things. So I recommend staying and you know, rubbing her head, tickling her back, like doing that, but just telling her, like, now she's a big girl, she can go to sleep on her own. And she will learn how to do it. Be very gentle with her because she's old enough to kind of know what she knows what to ask for. Like, Mama, rock me, which is heartbreaking for moms, right? Like, when they're so sweet, but just say, you know, now you need to go to bed. This is our rocking time. Mm-hmm. Set it. I don't say timer, but something that shows them it's here's the start and here's the end. And
perfect. Yeah. Perfect. What about a room sharing transition where you're going to have kids start to share a room?
Okay, so I would say prep them for that. Dark, dark room. Make sure it's really dark, and sound machines. It's going to distract them from each other. It depends on their ages, but I think a lot of times if you are going to sleep train your baby, I recommend getting that kind of down before you put them in the room together. You know,
because, so you can't. So what if they're you have twins?
Yeah.
Like, did you sleep train them together, but in separate? I mean, in separate rooms.
I did it in the same room at the same time.
Okay.
You know, so with like multiples, they do wake each other up more. You kind of have to like just be aware,
because one might be a better sleeper than the other. Right?
There's always one that is. I call it like the sensitive twin, which means it's a much harder one. It's more of a pain in the butt for the rest of their life. Because mine has stuck with being the harder twin for sure.
Right.
I would definitely try to I'm saying, like, if you have a 3-year-old and then a 6-month-old, like, if you were to put Jack with Bo, like, Jack would have woken him up, like, you know, so you try to, I say, you can sleep train in the closet, you can sleep train in a bathroom, you can sleep train, you know, a lot of my clients live in New York, and they're in these small, and they're like, they are very creative with their space, you know, but you kind of just put them somewhere away from the other baby, and then put them together once you've got that narrowed down. The older baby, I will say, sometimes you could do the older toddler, whatever, be like, okay, so these couple nights when he is up, you get to come and make a little camp out on mom and dad's floor for just a couple days, because it's a privilege you earned, because he's kind of fussy, you know, so move the older one that can go back to it and put their sleeping bag down and make it like a fun thing.
Right.
But I would just say, kind of keep with it. Again, start with how you want to move forward. These are the rules. You guys go to sleep, lights out, sound machines on, and that's it.
Got it.
You know,
how can a mom stop co-sleeping?
So my first thing is, I always, and I get that call weekly, are you wanting to stop, or are you being pressured to think you have to stop? Because it works for some people and it doesn't work for other people. Most people do not plan to co-sleep. It kind of becomes what happens. Mm-hmm. So that is where I help. But some people plan to co-sleep. Great. I would just stick with it until it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
But the co-sleeping, I would say transition partway through the night. So maybe start co-sleeping start in the crib for, I don't know, 7 to 11. Then from 11 to the rest of the night, bring them in bed a couple days. Then maybe 7 to 1 in their crib, bring them to bed. So, and then you slowly just like you got rid of feedings at night, you slowly just get rid of getting back in bed. So then they're in there the whole night. But again, you can do that as gently as you want and as slow as you want.
Okay, we have a mom that her baby naps very poorly at daycare. Yeah. And so when she picks the baby up, it's a nightmare, and the baby's 9 months and is completely exhausted by bedtime.
I'm sure so tired.
I feel for these moms. I mean, we're here sitting here talking about, you know, what to do when we're home with them and everything. But my gosh, when it's out of your control and you have to work, that's so hard.
It's so hard. And all daycares are different.
Right.
And some of them will honor what the parents do at home. Some of them are like, sorry, we have too many kids.
Yeah.
We don't let them cry for a second, or they won't do sound machines, or the room are not dark. So the best advice I could say, because this is for people that have to look for daycare, things to look out for. Talk to them. Do you guys honor our schedule? Here's kind of what we do with our kids. I know it won't be perfect or exactly, but do you guys try to do it close to what the baby does at home so it's not different? One thing. Look for the dark nursery rooms. Those are important. Ask if you can bring a lovey. Yes, the Love Eight, because it smells, it's familiar, they sleep better. Yeah. And ask if you can bring a sound machine, because some sound machines help babies get into deeper sleep.
Yes.
And it also, with all the other noise going on or another baby crying, it helps a lot. I would tell that mom, try to catch up on sleep. So one of the things she could do is take a longer drive home so the baby gets a little catnap in the car. Mm. And then get home. And unfortunately, that nighttime routine is probably a little bit more rushed because the baby's just tired, and put them down. Try to let them sleep later in the morning or as late as you can before you have to get them up to go to work, you know,
yeah.
Try to catch up that way. And then another thing they can do with the daycare is just ask them to incorporate one more nap. Because even if the naps are poor, you're better off having three short naps than...
Aren't there some daycares, though, that are like, sorry, they got just one nap. That's the way everyone does it here.
They do when they go to a certain age. They do. And so that's when you moved yours at 12. I've helped a lot of clients move to a nap at 12 months, one nap at 12
months.
So
they need to find either a different daycare or, yeah.
Yeah,
or
and I always tell people, like, there's a lot of options out there. Obviously, do what's best for you, but talk to them about it. Some of these daycare people are amazing and will totally, you know, but don't be scared to ask for what's best for your baby. You know, but an extra, for that mom, I would say try to just ask them to do an extra nap.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I want to quickly get through these last few. So what about if a baby throws his passies and lovies out of the crib in the middle of the night, screams, and just waits for you to come back to put them back in?
That old trick.
That little fucker. That's what I say.
Like, my daughter does it with her lovey sometimes when she really needs me.
Yeah. It's like they're such – that's what I joke. Like, they're little assholes. Like, they know – they are smart, too. Yeah. They know.
Yeah.
Like, I've had one client who just dangles. Will look at the video monitor dangling her lovey over. And I'm like,
let her
fucking drop it and go to bed. If she is that smart to look at the monitor and tempt you – that is so – oh, I'm so sorry you made the choice to throw your lovey out. Oh, man.
So don't go back in.
Oh, and I say that. Did I do it with my kids? Yes. I would do one or two times. And then after that, I'd be like,
sorry, you lost it.
You're done. Okay. You know, and even because 1 to 2 times for me was sustainable, right?
It didn't impact me. Of course.
17 times?
No way.
No way. That they are just working you. So I would say do it once and tell, but be very clear. If you make that choice again, you will not get your lovey till the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry.
Got it.
You know.
Okay. How to stay on schedule with travel. I feel like I'm kind of like really good at this.
I want to hear. Okay. Tell us your tips.
I bring the same sound machine. Mm-hmm. So they have the same sound. Mm-hmm. I bring all the loveys. I rub the crib sheet all over me so it smells like me. And I just bring all the same sleep cues.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
So I make sure that, especially the first night, that it's the same time as their normal bedtime.
Okay.
So that it just feels very familiar. So they get like, oh, this is a new place, but like, oh, I get it. Like, I bring the same light, the same book that he reads while I get his bottle ready.
I love it.
So
I just love picturing you rubbing the
crib
sheet.
By the way, I do it super sensual.
Oh, my God. What do you mean you rub it?
Like the crib sheet, I'll rub it on my neck.
You mean like for the crib body. Crib sheet that you bring on the trip.
Yeah, the travel crib.
That's like an A++. Yeah, like that is because the smell is such a big deal. To the babies and as they adjust. Another thing is you could just use the crib sheet they slept in the night before you left traveling.
Yeah, that's
just
what
take
I
it off the bed.
Okay, we're back with some shitty mommy.
Because it smells like that. I love the love.
Everything you did. I'm going to read a listener.
So right.
Or even if they don't, it doesn't smell like them. I bring them like her own crib sheet in general because smell or not, like
that's
they're used to that
used
feel. It might be a little big for the travel thing, but who cares? You just like stuff it.
Yeah, you just stuff it up there. Those are great ideas. Okay. And I just say time zones, when you go west, Hawaii, get on Hawaii time or you're going to have a miserable time.
Get on Hawaii time. But if you go east, it's kind of fun.
Go out to dinner.
So stay on California time as much as you can. They will adjust. And usually when you're traveling, you want them up later. All of that sort of work. So try to stay on California time.
Yeah. Awesome. How do you handle night terrors?
Okay. So night terrors are a lot of kids have them, and it's usually overstimulation and overtiredness. So night terrors, a couple of things you can do. One, and they're also genetic. So ask around or ask your mother-in-law or ask your husband if you had them, your mom, because they can be kind of genetic.
What is a night terror? Are they waking up screaming?
Okay. They're kind of not totally awake. They're kind of just screaming and thrashing. And all kids kind of respond a little differently, but it's usually overstimulation. You'll see it a lot with toddlers when they miss their nap. Go back to the nap. Like some 3-year-olds are not ready to, if they start having night terrors, go back to their daytime nap for a 3-year-old. They're going to bed too late.
Right.
Too much of iPads, TVs before bed can cause it. Their brain, the blue light in iPods, TVs, I'm sure you guys know this talk about it, breaks down the melatonin production, so their body doesn't produce it. It stimulates them. It's kind of like, you know when you have fever sometimes and you have like very weird dreams? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. It's like overstimulation. Another thing you can do if they're at the same time every night, let's say they're at 1:30. I would recommend moving bedtime earlier, anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and a half earlier. Going in about 15 minutes before their night terror usually happens, wake them up, give them a drink of water, take them to the bathroom, give them a hug, kind of just reset them so they get into a different sleep cycle. Because it's usually at the same sleep cycle.
Wow. Who would have known that? Okay. Last, quickly, because we want time for Shitty Mommy. Ideal temperatures and must-haves that you give. And we can link it to our Facebook because you told me the great sound machine to get. So what's ideal for like sleep for babies and kids?
Okay. Temperature 68 to 72 degrees. If you go in there, your baby's face is like nose and hands are cold. It's too cold. Yeah. If you go in there and they're sweating, they're too hot.
Yeah.
Babies have a really hard time in toddlers regulating. You know when they run around, they're all sweaty, regulating their temperature. So I always say cooler. Dark as can be. You want that room like Vegas. You want to be like they don't know what time it is.
Yep.
So it will help through time changes. It will help when they're sick. And then the sound machine is super loud. You want it loud enough to give comfort when they're newborns because the sound machine does bring comfort. Loud enough to block out outside noise so that they're not getting woken up by the dog or the doorbell or another toddler running around. So I would say dark, cold, and a very loud sound machine is like the ideal sleep environment. And then a lovey. I'm such a lovey fan. When you get approval from your doctor to put it in the crib.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome, moms. We will be back with some Shitty Mommy. 60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? Get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or just listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions and get the answers you need so there's no surprises. Then, simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.
Okay, we're back with some Shitty Mommy. So Melissa, before we put you on the spot to share a Shitty Mommy story, I'm going to read a listener's.
Okay.
Her name is Jasmine.
Shitty Mommy!
Said, my daughter ate one of those packets to say do not eat in like new purses or shoe boxes. I called poison control right away and they said this is one of their most common calls. Apparently it's non-toxic and they say that only because it's a choking hazard. Literally was the scariest thing ever. So many thoughts went through my mind. So good to know. I mean, obviously still keep out of reach of your children, but like a little bit of comfort of knowing they're not like ingesting some massive poison.
Yeah.
Because it is something poison. My son like found it the other day in a pair of shoes I ordered for him off Amazon and was like, is this salt? And I was like, no, it's not a salt packet.
So it looks like it though. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I got like so much anxiety thinking about Shitty because I have so many of them and like some where I'm like, well, no one will hire me if I share that one.
But, share a safe one.
Yeah. No, I know. So I like to say, because like with the Shitty Mommy, like I've done it all. They've been like months where all they ate were goldfish. And, you know, the empty threats and the bribes and the lies and like the empty threats all the time. Like my husband, I am like notorious for it.
Yeah.
Like the ones I think of are around bedtime when I have like a care factor of this much for them.
Yeah.
And it's the tooth fairy. My kids lose their teeth all the time. They have so many teeth. I didn't realize we all had that many teeth. I have never, not once, brought the tooth fairy on the first night they put their tooth on the
pillow. Oh my God.
I have forgot every single time. And awesome. I don't even care to the point where you guys, I told my 8-year-old there's no tooth fairy because like it happened too many times. And I was like, you know what?
You guys, it's fake.
Disappointment sucks. Fake. Yeah. And here's $20. And you know what? The tooth fairy is not fucking real.
Here's so hush money. Yeah. Hush don't tell any of the
don't
other
tell
kids.
Your siblings.
You're welcome.
Yes. And then
fairy's with Santa. Okay.
Yeah, with Santa. I know. I was like, that one's keeping. And the other one that I've done that this one's so bad is when they were like in diapers, but like a little older, and they'd like pee their bed and like it would be on the sheets. I would just half asleep. I just put towels back under there, yes. Towels on top of them, like towels, and like to the point where like maybe a day or two later I forgot to change it. I like go to give him a kiss. I'm like, oh my gosh, it smells like pee. I'm like,
oh, my that's a good kid. One. It's like, who wants to do laundry?
I just forgot. Yeah. I just forgot.
Of course.
I
was yeah, so, tired.
And I was, you know, so, I don't know.
It's okay. So, you're alive.
Well, we love you. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so happy to see you. Thank you for everything. I'll keep you posted on Jack's nap.
Okay, please do.
Nap life.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. We're going to leave you with a Mama Said. Remember, Mama said, nothing is really lost until your mom can't find it. Did I say this one already?
No, I don't think
hope
so.
Not. Okay.
So true. Well, it's a good reminder. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to Mama Said with Jamie and Jenna. New episodes are available weekly at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you love the show, don't forget to leave a rating and review.
We want to thank all our sponsors for this episode of Mama Said. They are Gold Peak Iced Tea. The comforts of home are never far away. Find your favorite Gold Peak flavor at a retailer near you.
Bombas. Get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/mama. Force of Nature. Get 40% off your first purchase plus free shipping at forceofnatureclean.com and use promo code MAMASAID.
TrueCar. When you're ready to sell or trade in your car, visit TrueCar. Fruit of the Loom. Save an additional 10% of your purchase by going to fruit.com and using promo code MAMA.
And remember, all the info and links to these sponsors will be available in the show notes for this episode.